if you will open your Bibles in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2 for our scripture reading for the message today, Hebrews chapter 2. And I trust that the Holy Spirit would bless your heart as you turn there to read with us and to listen to the Word of God being read and expounded upon. And I would covet your prayers that God's blessings might rest upon us as we bring the message today based on Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, as we have now opened thy word before us, in the same manner we pray the Holy Spirit would open our hearts. And may we one and all be receptive to thy truth. For we know that thou hast written to us, and in the words that come from the pen of the Apostle Paul, to admonish us, to warn us, to beseech us to take heed. Help us, we pray, to do so, giving heed to those things that we have learned. Dear God, we ask again if there should be those without the Savior. There should be those who are not in the right fellowship with Him today. For those who are without the confines of the church, may they come and be united with this fellowship. And most of all with Thee is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Back at verse 3. How shall we escape? And back at verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have learned, lest upon any occasion we should slip away from them. Now, I hear occasionally on the radio and see on the television a message that begins something like this. We receive many warnings in our lives. And the man goes on to tell about some of those warnings. And you know, some people heed those warnings and some people do not. And those who do not heed the warnings, it follows naturally, suffer the consequences. And you know, every day that we live, God gives us warnings within His Word and by the Holy Spirit. And if I would have any recommendation for us today, I would simply recommend that we heed the warning of God or else suffer the consequences. Therefore, Paul writes, we ought to give the more earnest heed, not to look lightly upon, but to give an earnest heed to the things which we have learned, lest we should find ourselves in the course of our Christian experience drifting away, slipping away, going away from the anchor that holds us in bonds of love to our great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is a dangerous thing for a ship to lose its moorings. It is a dangerous thing for the boat on the water to lose its anchor. And you know, today we have an anchor. And praise God, it is an anchor that holds. When 70 times 7 storms of Satan and storms of persecution and storms of reverses and crises in life, I say when 70 times 7 of these come down upon us like hordes from the north, I'm glad that we have an anchor that holds today. Oh, I pray God that we would recognize the danger in slipping away from the rock of ages, the rock of our salvation, the rock of our eternal hope. I say again and again and again, it is a dangerous thing for us to drift from the anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder then Paul says, I want you to give the more earnest heed to those things that you have learned. God has been good to us in giving us His blessed and timeless word. And God has taught us in the Scriptures what to do and how we ought to live out our Christian lives. And I would pause here long enough to say that at our very best, beloved, we are very bad. At our very strongest, we are very weak. We need a solid grip on the anchor. We need to tighten the cords. We need to draw nigh, lest at any moment we find ourselves slipping away, slipping away, slipping away. What is there, preacher, that we ought to give earnest heed to? That's my message this morning, giving earnest heed to the things we have learned. And I want to talk to you a few moments about several of these things. First, we ought to give earnest heed to the greatness of our salvation. In one of his most trying moments in life, the psalmist simply shouted out on one occasion, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. You know, that's a great therapy for your soul today. For you and for me to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift cometh from Him. For us to acknowledge today that our salvation is blood-bought. For us to acknowledge today that our salvation comes from the Lord. Let us then give the more earnest heed to the greatness of our salvation. And in the fourth chapter of Acts in verse 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, or there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you ever wonder what makes this salvation so wonderfully great? I would submit to you three things. First, our salvation is great because it is worldwide. It is universal in scope. Second, because it is accessible to every man of every tongue, of every tribe, of every creed, of every color, of every continent, of every country, of every climate in all the world. And third, our salvation is great because it is an extravagant salvation. Taking heed to the greatness of our salvation because it is universal. It is written, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is written again from the prophecy of Isaiah, ho, every one that thirsteth, let him come. It is written again in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Oh, beloved, today, in the words of the prophet Ezekiel, I would say to you, turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die when the sheltering rock is so nearby? The very last invitation that's given in the Word of God is in Revelation chapter 22. I don't know, maybe you want to put it over in this period or that period, or this dispensation or that dispensation. To me, that does not matter. The same undeniable truth goes forth, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And Paul writes in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad he included me. When Jesus said, whosoever, he included me, unworthy, undeserving as I am. You and I this morning, if we had our just deserts, would be in hell. But in his mercy and in his love and by his marvelous grace, he has extended to us the hope of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. Salvation is universal. And it is accessible. You don't have to go a long way to find it, my beloved friend, this morning. It's just one belief away. For Paul writes in Romans 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. How accessible is it? Just the moment, my friend, that you recognize that you are a lost sinner, that you need the Savior, at that very moment that you say yes to him and open the door of your heart and by faith invite Jesus Christ to come in, just how soon you do that is how soon the work is forever done. Amen. God is not very far from any of us. He is very near. And all you have to do is call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said a while ago that our salvation is extravagant. And immediately somebody says, but I thought salvation was free. Well, it is for you and for me. And Paul writes, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I shall never forget the days when I was in seminary and old Dr. Ensminger, may his memory be blessed forever, would come into the class and start to lecture. And from a heart that had been bathed in the blood of Christ, and from a brain and mind that God had given him to teach God's word almost like no other man has ever taught it, he used to kind of get carried away. And he starts singing, I'm glad salvation's free. Amen. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. Amen. But beloved, may I remind you that God has paid an extravagant price for your salvation. That God gave his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross, there to suffer the agony, the shame of your sins and mine, bearing them in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. It cost God his own Son. You know, there's nothing we can do to merit it. It's a free gift. I read about an old man who gave this testimony. Said he, it took me 40 years to learn three things. Number one, that I couldn't do anything to save myself. Number two, that God didn't expect me to do anything to save myself. And number three, that Jesus had already done it all. Amen. Let us then in triumphant notes sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm glad this morning that it's free for us, costing God his own Son. It is universal. It is accessible. It is extravagant. And it's for you. Let us give the more earnest heed to our great salvation. And then, beloved, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the danger of neglect. All of us today, I'm sure, are guilty in this area of neglecting our bodies, our jobs, our families, our church, our homes. Some way, in some fashion or another, all of us are guilty of neglect. And you know, sheer and simple neglect can cost so dearly. A man of my own acquaintance a few years ago had a burning sensation in the ends of his toes and thought, well, it's just something that'll pass away in a few days. It'll be gone. And his wife said, honey, I think you ought to go to the doctor. And he said, no, I don't really think so. It began to bother him in the late hours of the night, disturbing his rest. And after many months of enduring the pain, he finally decided he'd best go to the doctor. And the doctor examined his condition and took his blood test and so forth and so on. And the doctor said, well, it looks like we're going to have to remove your toes. And so they did. And a little bit later on in the stump of that foot, the same burning sensation. And to make a long story short, before they were through, they had taken his leg off in three operations to amputate it all the way up to his joint. And the doctors told his family, if he had only come to me when he first felt the burning sensation, I could have saved his leg. Beloved, when you first feel the burning sensation of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you best go to my doctor Jesus. And you best let him perform a spiritual surgery on you and give you a new heart. Or else, if you neglect, judgment is on its way. How shall we escape? The greatest neglect that you can make is the neglect of your soul. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Your soul is a priceless thing this morning. Well, God thought enough of it to give his son. And Jesus Christ thought enough of it to die for it. And you know, God evens the score with those who sin and neglect their soul salvation. Consider with me the people of Noah's day. Noah for 120 years preached righteousness. Noah for 120 years preached the judgment of God through rains and flood. But nobody heeded. But he entered the ark and God sent the flood, and the Bible says, and they were all destroyed. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah sinned, and God sent fire. And you know, God is no respecter of persons. And God does not play favorites. If you sin and neglect your eternal salvation, you're going to have to pay the price. And the consequences are great. For the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And again, it is written, "The wages of sin is death." But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I read in the New Testament about the lives of two men particularly who were guilty of neglecting. One of them's name is Felix. The Apostle Paul stood before Felix one day, and Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and of the judgment to come. And how did Felix respond? You know how he responded. Here's what he said. "Paul, go thy way for January 26, 1969. Go thy way this Sunday, Paul. Next Sunday, some more convenient time I'll call." Some of you are about to say that same thing. You are now hearing the word of God, of reasoning, of judgment, of righteousness. You're saying in your heart, "Preacher, don't bother me today. Some more convenient season." Some of you young people are saying, "I've got to have my fling. I've got to live my life. And then talk to me about Christ." Felix said, "Some more convenient season, I'll call for you. But you know, I've searched my Bible in vain. And I never do find where Felix ever called for Paul." And I believe this. If we could go into the reaches of hell today, I believe that we could hear Felix saying, "Some more convenient season. But I never found it. I never found that season. I never knew what it was to find a more convenient hour." And Felix might say to you, beloved, on the top side of the earth today, don't delay, don't put it off, don't neglect. Believe today, for I'm still looking for a convenient season. The other man's name, Agrippa. And Paul preached to him. I hate to think, oh, beloved, this has never dawned on me as it does right now, but I hate to think about preaching to people that will die and go to hell. But Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But you know, if we could go back into hell again this morning, I believe that we would hear Agrippa saying, "Almost is not enough." I pray God, in the words of the apostle, that if there be those who are listening to me today who have never trusted the Savior, that they would be not only almost, but altogether persuaded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For it is a dangerous thing for you to neglect your salvation. One of the most important elements in salvation is the time element. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God's time is always present. It may be now or never. The old proverb says, he who hesitates is lost. Giving more earnest heed to the danger of neglect. And there's one more thing that we ought to heed earnestly today. We ought to give heed to the impossibility of escape. You heard me correctly. The impossibility of escape. In my text, the question is asked, how shall we escape? Let me tell you this morning, you will not escape. Men may escape Alcatraz, men may escape the law, the FBI, the Internal Revenue Agent, but men cannot escape God. For this book that I've been preaching to you from this morning declares that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You heard me correctly. This book says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death. After death, judgment. Judgment. Standing at the bar of God. Eternal judgment. And the question in that day is not going to be, where did you go to church? How good a time did you have in your youth? What kind of house did you live in? How many zeros in your salary? The question in that day is going to be one, and it's going to be simple. What did you do with Jesus? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody said, but preacher, you make it sound so simple. Oh, I wish I could tell you in elementary language this morning how simple it really is. Ah, but somebody says, brother preacher, you don't know my past. My sins are uncountable. All the sins of my life are cropping up before me today. You know, the great reformer Martin Luther in the 16th century had a dream one night. And Martin Luther said that I dreamed that the devil had a big chalkboard. And the devil himself with his own hand was writing down the sins of Martin Luther's life. And Martin Luther said, I thought he never would get through. He just kept on writing and writing and writing and writing the sins of my life. And I felt as though I would drop into the pits of hell. But Martin Luther says, I saw another hand. A nail-pierced hand that wrote across all the sins of Martin Luther's life, the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth from all sin and unrighteousness. I want to tell you this morning, mister, that it matters not the depth of your sin. It matters not the names of your sins. The blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ, can cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us stand for our prayer. Giving the more earnest heed to the greatness of our salvation, to the danger of neglect, and to the impossibility of escape. Listen to me now while your heads are bowed. I want to help you. Hear me when I say it. Beloved friend, outside Jesus Christ, there is no escape. He is the way, the only way to God. And if you will follow His steps to the cross today, He will ultimately lead you to the throne. Our Father, we ask in these moments that the Holy Spirit would be upon this congregation, purging, cleansing, driving out, ridding us all of our sins. For that man out there this morning who has heard this message, who knows in his own heart that he ought to step out for Christ today, for that young boy, that young girl, for that mother or daddy, whomever it might be, we pray today, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit right now would speak to that heart and help them just to open the door and invite Jesus to come in. For those who are walking at a guilty distance from Thee and who have broken fellowship, may they come today and be restored around an altar of prayer. For those who are outside the confines of the church, may they come by baptism or letter or statement to be united with this fellowship. Whatever the needs are, and Thou knowest, and Thou alone, speak to hearts and bring us all upon our knees, giving the more earnest heed to the things we have learned, lest we find ourselves slipping away from them, is our prayer in Jesus' name.